The Lord be with you. Thank you. I'm glad you're here for worship this morning. Spring break has bookends, a weekend on each end of it. And I'm afraid a lot of our folks are on the road or gone somewhere today. Maybe some people are home for spring break. So if that's for you today, we're happy to see you and get to worship with you. I welcome you to this service of worship and have several announcements to make. One of which is that Brian Dieroff, our associate pastor, is preaching in Ladonia and Pecan Gap today. And so he's left me solo here. So I'm okay with that, and I am looking forward to worshiping with you. And let us keep him in our prayers as he preaches the gospel this morning in Ladonia and Pecan Gap. One thing I want to share with you is the creed that we're going to do in our service today. And we have a variety of different affirmations of our faith. We call them creeds. While you look for page 886 in your hymnal, let me just say the word creed comes from the Latin word credo, which means literally, I believe. So that's what a creed is. It is a statement of our beliefs and our believing. So in this creed, I wanted to put it in our order of worship today. It's in our hymnal on page 886, as I said, and so it's been there all these years, and yet I'm afraid we've kind of ignored it. And it was written by the World Methodist Council in 1986, just about 2 years before our current United Methodist hymnal was published in 88. So it's been around a while, and yet in terms of the history of Christianity, it's very new. In terms of the Apostles' Creed and others, it's very new. But I like some of the things that it says, and I wanted us to share it today and to read it. The biggest hazard with using creeds in any way is that we get to the point where we have them memorized and we say them by rote and we don't really think about the words. But let us think about these words. We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, the upholding of human dignity and community in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation. So there are many other phrases where we affirm the goodness in God's world. And I invite you to ponder those and to reacquaint yourself with this creed or become acquainted with it if you haven't. So, our pastor's Bible study is taking a break. For the rest of Lent, we have been working hard since Advent. We have studied the fruit of the Spirit, and then we studied the Gospels from the Advent story from the Gospels back before Christmas. So we've been going weekly, and we're going to take a break for the rest of Lent and begin again after Easter. So if you're in one of those groups, I want you to hear that and know that we are going to come back to it. We're not just quitting. We are taking a break. And we will resume after Easter, and those plans will be to announce shortly. And if you have a suggestion on what we might like to study, I would welcome that. Notice in the listing of announcements in our bulletins that our office hours during spring break are different. Pay attention to that. That's new to me as well, but I wanted you to know about it and not to be disappointed if you come up here expecting to find someone and miss them. So, with those announcements made and with pointing your attention to the other announcements that are in our bulletin, I begin our worship. And I would like to call us to worship together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is good to sing the praises of the Lord and to worship together. Let us rise, please, and affirm our faith together with this creed. Number 886. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ, incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present with us to guide and strengthen and comfort.
We believe.
We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough, and in responsible use of all of the earth's resources. Glory be to God on high, and on earth, peace. We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or by action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed or indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that have threatened, that continue to threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come. Thy kingdom come, earth as it is in heaven. Amen. As we prepare to pass the peace, let us greet one another with the fellowship of Christian love. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet our guests.
Sweet Nancy.
And Bert, the hatchet right between his eyes.
Good morning, girls. We're so glad you're here today and that you came down for children's sermon. Oh, and Oliver's coming too, guys, girls and guys. So welcome. And I wanted to share with you today a story. It's sort of the opposite of our sermon today. Our sermon is about being set our feet solidly on a rock, okay? And what I wanted to tell you about is the opposite of that, which, can you imagine what that might be? Something that's not going to hold you up.
Water.
Okay, that's a good guess. It probably includes water. But what I have in mind is quicksand. Have you ever heard of quicksand? I think it's really a thing, but seems like mostly you only see it in cartoons when somebody gets buried down up to their neck and they can't get out of it. But quicksand really is a thing. And it can be kind of a scary thing if you're sinking and can't get out. And I've heard that if you're trapped in quicksand, the more you move your arms and legs and try to swim your way out of it, the more you dig yourself in. Some of you are nodding. The choir members have been in quicksand?
All the time.
Sometimes we make our situations worse by flapping our arms and legs and trying to struggle out. But quicksand is kind of the opposite of our sermon today, because our sermon today is about God putting us up on a solid rock, on a solid foundation where we can stand and we can know that we'll be safe. We sometimes say God is our rock. Used to sing in camp days, Jesus is the rock and he rolls my blues away. That's a song about Jesus being solid like a rock. Sort of the opposite of quicksand, right? So, I wanted to tell you today that God is in the business of redeeming us, of saving us. And when we do the things that we do that get us in trouble, that get us to where we sink in the quicksand, God is going to reach down and pull us up. Strong arm. Now, that's an image. God doesn't really have arms. But I think God has people who have arms. And maybe if you were sinking in quicksand, maybe I might be able to reach down and pull you up. And in a way, that would be God acting through me. Maybe Miss Oates might be able to reach down and pull you up out of the sinking sand. You know, if you were discouraged or hurt or disappointed about something, that's kind of like being in quicksand. You may need an encouraging word to pull you out of it. If you've been sick and need to be healed and need to be well, let's trust that God reaches down and pulls us up out of the sinking sand. So, I have a song to teach you. I bet you know it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus when the sun goes down. Love him, in the morning, love him in the noontime. Love him, we serve him, and sometimes that's by pulling other people up. Serve him in the morning, serve him in the noontime. Serve him when the sun goes down. So, maybe today, if you watch real close, you'll get a chance to pull somebody else up. And that's one good way of serving Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you for loving us so dearly through Jesus. And as we love you back, help us to love others in his name and to help pull them up. God, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Amen. Thanks for coming to church.
Good morning. I have just a brief mission moment about our Lenten offering to share with you all. This year, the CERB team decided that community health was a worthwhile enterprise, and we are concentrating on two nonprofit agencies, CareVide, excuse me, and RAFA. And they will be the beneficiaries of several different kinds of Lenten offerings, I hope donations being among them. I had never really heard about CareVide until I heard it on John Mark Dempsey's Blacklands Cafe. And then I began to notice it everywhere. If you are driving in downtown Greenville on Wesley, you see the CareVide Women's Center. And the program that we are going to have here in Commerce is school-based clinics. And I'd like to talk just a minute about how they will work and to emphasize two things. First of all, communication is key, and nothing will happen unless parents are informed and give their consent. Nothing. The other thing is that CareVide will bill a private insurance company or Medicaid, and if the parent does not have either of those two insurances, the bill will be on a sliding scale, but they never turn over a bill to a collection office. Never. Because they want people to come and get the services that they need so that they'll be healthy. I wanted to talk just a little bit about how the school-based clinic will work. It's a joint partnership between the Commerce Independent School District and CareVide. Commerce Independent School District will provide the building, and they are renovating one behind the middle school as we speak. CareVide will provide all the furniture they need indoors and the equipment they need and the staff. And the staff will include either a physician's assistant or a nurse practitioner who has the authority to provide some medical attention right there in the clinic if the parent agrees, or at least to write a prescription or suggest more testing. So there's all kinds of ways that they can help a child who is sick. excuse me. What will happen is if a child goes to a school nurse and the school nurse suggests that the child needs to go to the clinic, the school will transport the child to the clinic. The parent, who very often is working, maybe even working out of town, will not have to leave work and come and get that child. And then when they arrive at the clinic, the parent is informed first by the school nurse that their child is being taken to the clinic. And then when they arrive at the clinic and the nurse practitioner or the physician's assistant examines that child, the physician's assistant will again call the parent and receive verbal approval of any action that the physician's assistant will take. Now, if the child has to go get another test that is not available at the school-based clinic, a parent or guardian will have to take them. But if the child can go back to school, the school will transport them back to the facility. The first year, which we hope will be starting in August of 2019, excuse me, the clinic will be open 2 days a week. And unlike a doctor's office where the visit is often 15 or 20 minutes, they are scheduling at least only two or three students per hour so that they can get to know the student and, you know, treat them effectively. Now, in order for this all to happen, the renovations have to be finished. And your monetary contributions will help speed those renovations along so that it opens in the fall of 2019. One thing they're really wanting to do is have parents give a written authorization at registration. They can choose not to be a part of the program, but they can sign that written authorization at registration. But that's not the end of it. There's communication all along the way. So we're hoping that our contributions at Lent can help get this renovation finished, and get the process started. RAFA is another nonprofit health partner here in the Commerce area. It's headquartered in Greenville. All of its services are free. They do have medical services. Bill Heitholt's daughter-in-law is in charge of doing medical things, and it centers around pregnancy. She does all the ultrasounds. They also have a lot of counseling and education programs. They do all the parenting classes for CASA, which many of you are very aware of. They also have a special parenting class for men, talking about how important it is for a child to have a daddy in their lives. And we can help this organization out, in several ways. For one, they always need diapers. So a size 3, 4, or 5 package of diapers would be very, very much appreciated. For two, they have a little store. And for every parent who attends a parenting class, they get RAFA bucks. And they can go to this store, which has gently used clothing, and you spend their RAFA bucks on that clothing. And they ask for things anywhere from newborn to size 4. Now, it costs $804 a day to run RAFA. That includes everything. And they have a program where if you donate $804, you can designate what day and honor someone by that donation. So I'm going to challenge this congregation. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could donate $804 for one day to sustain RAFA, and also $804 to make sure that the renovations for the Caravide facility are finished in time? I think we can do it. All we have to do is raise $1,608. And so I'm hoping that this congregation, which is generous always in all the things that we support, will support Caravide and RAFA in this way. Next week, we'll have Kathy Myers and our own Allison Walker talk a little bit more about Caravide. And the week after that, the director of RAFA, Theresa Sadler, will be here. So you'll get a more in-depth picture of what's happening. Thank you.
I now let our ushers come, and it's time to collect up and present our offerings. And please be reminded that every single dollar bill that you put in the offering plate already will go toward one or both of these agencies, Caravide and Rafa. Of course, your checks and your envelope contributions go to support the ministries and the life and the mission of this congregation. So please give as you are able and generously. Let us pray. God, we thank you for all that we have, and we acknowledge that all that we have is already a gift from you to us, that we are not so much owners as we are stewards of being responsible and caring to use these resources in the best of ways. God, we ask you to receive and bless the offerings that we bring today and make them good for the kingdom of God and for all your people. Amen. Take your hymnals and turn to number 314, In the Garden. 314.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Have some prayers to share with you, and as we begin our prayer time, David and Kathy Giles were in a horrible car wreck, but they're okay, and it's amazing that they are. And the vehicle that hit them actually hit them twice and then got tangled up with a semi truck and then drove off, and they thought they were going to not get to find out who that was, but when he hit the truck, his front bumper came off and his license plate ended up right in front of their vehicle. Providence. So we're thankful that they are not hurt too badly, that they're going to be all right. We also want to remember, in addition to the list of names and prayers that are in our bulletin, two of our Little Ark students, Hayes and Annabeth, we want to remember. And also Erica Green's son, whose name is Zion. Kind of like that name. Tammy Neiser's parents, Kenneth and Caroline Klein, or Carol Klein. I believe some of those may be in our bulletin. There is a family struggling at what was the United Methodist Church in Campbell, and it's not there anymore, and I'm going to be following up on this name to see if they have a church home and invite them to come here. But it's a hospice and chaplaincy situation. Their name is Glenn, Samuel Glenn, and Marceline Flower. So we also have been asked to pray for Janelle Stogner's family, especially about her grandson, JQ, and her son, James, and of Marilyn Heath and her husband, John, who are praying for Alex. Alex is the one that's very sick, and his wife, Megan. That's a lot of prayers, you know, and we may not remember all those names, but we know that God remembers and will lift, as we lift them up, that God will hear our prayers and hear our hearts and meet some of their needs. So let's begin our prayers with a moment of silence. Oh God, we come before you knowing that our hearts are full and knowing that your heart is with us. It's a broken world, and that's not anything new. We know, God, that most of the people of this planet live with brokenness, and we dare not believe that we deserve the blessings that you give us. In fact, it's hard to call them blessings even without wondering how or why you would bless us somehow more than the next person. It's hard to claim that we deserve to be blessed. Then it definitely wouldn't be a blessing. But, oh God, we do give thanks to you for the blessings, and we give you credit and praise for every good thing. God, in our broken world, we look around us and see people that are hurting, people that are misunderstood, people that are rejected. And we claim your promise that You do not let us reside in the quicksand of life and sink deep in sin always, but that rather you set us upon a rock. That you set us upon a rock where we can see our lives in the perspective of your picture, your large picture. God, we trust you. And we trust you for our future. We trust you to redeem our past and to lead us by hand into the future. We trust you, in fact, to set our feet upon a solid rock, to not let us wander and get mired about in the quicksand of life, but that rather you will hold us, take us by the hand, and lead us through. Sometimes through suffering instead of from suffering. But that's not to say that you cause suffering, O God. Rather, it is that in creating a world where human beings have some freedom to choose and to act, there will be bad decisions and there will be suffering. O God, help us to choose well and to use our freedom well, and help us to be generous with how we dish out our blessings, how we serve up some of those blessings to others. God, when we are faced with a moment where we seem to be called to choose whether we curse or bless, let us bless. And in so doing, let us pass on your blessings. Let us grow in this. Let us grow in your walk with us. And let us glow with the light of your Spirit. Help us to follow you confidently and with hope. Help us to be fair with others around us. Help us to raise our children well. And to be good disciples, not that we can be anything good, but that we are good because of your grace. And now, Lord, we leave these prayers and all those prayers that have been uttered in our hearts in the last few minutes, and we leave them at your feet, trusting you to care for those whom we love and those whom we don't even know. And that all of these may live in the light of your grace and on the solid rock. And now we offer this prayer that Jesus himself teaches us as we pray these words together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. It can be found on page 72 of the New Testament section of your pew Bible. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Tyler and choir. That's rich. I think we should do that every Sunday. I invite your attention now to Psalm 27 as we begin our brief sermon. It will be based upon this psalm, and I want to read portions of it to you, probably not the whole thing, but to skip around a bit. This psalm is a psalm of confidence in God through Jesus Christ and through God's grace. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. The Lord is the light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me, to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, I will yet be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and he will set my feet high upon a rock. This is the word of the Lord for the people of faith. Thanks be to God. So most of you have heard of St. Patrick. He was one of Ireland's patron saints, born in 387. That's a long time ago. He lived and ministered in Ireland in the 5th century. He was born in Roman Britain in the late 4th century, and he was kidnapped at the age of 16, taken to Ireland as a slave. By the time of his death on March 17th of 461, he had established monasteries and churches and schools all over. So many legends about his life abound that the truth is not easily found, and also because it was so long ago. We do know that his real name was Maewen Sukat. Maybe St. Patrick was an improvement. He took on the name Patrick when he became a priest. And so that is how we know him, how we remember him. St. Patrick was a gentle soul. And I think he probably would have liked Psalm 27, where we read the words that we're reading today. Teach me your way, O Lord. Do not give up on me. Do not give me up to the adversaries that try to kill me. The psalmist writes words like these: the Lord is my light and my salvation, the stronghold of my life. He will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble, and he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. And best of all, he will set me high upon a rock. And when I did youth ministry full time or most time, and was doing camps, I couldn't tell you how many times, at Bridgeport, lake overlooking the lake, and in youth meetings all over, that I played and sang the song, Jesus is the Rock and He Rolls My Blues Away. And if you want to go further, the lyrics were bop, shoe-bop, shoe-bop, woo! You chuckle because you know it, you've heard it, some of you. It's a kid's song, funny, fun song, but it was a well-loved one when I was in youth and children's ministry full-time, and it was one that kids always asked for. By the way, it was to the tune of the old Loggins and Messina tune, Your Mama Don't Dance and Your Daddy Don't Rock and Roll. Probably an improvement on the words. But Patrick was an example for us, not how we can run off and be in hiding by ourselves, but how we can proclaim Christ. Each of us is a priest, if only to ourselves, and we relate ourselves to God. We don't have to go through another human being as a priest, because Jesus Christ is our priest. And therefore we sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And we can pray directly through our Lord when we say the Psalms, like this Psalm 27. Hear, O Lord, when I cry out loud, be gracious to me and answer me. Do not hide your face from me. Wow. God redeems us and sets us high in a safe place on the rock. And God doesn't abandon us there, but stays with us. I'm sorry Kathy is not here this morning. She is still feeling chest cold and afraid that she might share that with other choir members. So she decided to stay home again. But Kathy was raised in Western New York, and we love to go there. In fact, she just got back from there because of a family funeral. Some of you knew that. But in that area of Western New York, which is about as far from New York City as you can get, which I think is probably a good thing, her parents, her family, and two other local families from Panama, New York, owned shared interest in a scenic park that was called Panama Rocks Park. They're close to Lake Erie in Western New York, Chautauqua County. And she was raised, about 10 years of her school age years were spent, especially the summers, were spent at the rocks, they called it. And so we like to go back there, and when we do, we usually take a little tour through the rocks and see the beauty of nature and the high places you can stand and the caves that you can go into and the Fat Man's Misery Cave, which is only about that wide. If you stand sideways, you can get stuck in it real easily. But there are places in there where you can just see the protection of being inside a rock. You can see not only hiding, but we have that in the Psalms. We have, "You hide my soul in the cleft of the rock." A hymn says that. "Thou hidest my soul in the cleft of the rock." In the broken place, in the rock, I can be protected and held and covered. It's interesting to climb around in those caves and imagine those things and imagine that God really does shelter us, not only in the palm of his hand, but in the cleft of the rock. And it's no coincidence that when we sing about Jesus is the rock, we're talking about the Savior of the world. And so when we read this psalm about being protected in the rock, in the shelter of the rock, and set up high upon it, I believe the psalmist is anticipating the joy of knowing Christ, knowing God's protection through Christ, the Messiah, the one who leads us and holds our hand, calls us forward and sometimes pushes us from behind, but always hides us in the shelter of the rock. Jesus was fond of the word rock. And when Simon became one of the disciples, Jesus gave him a new name. He said, "Simon, I want to call you Petra, the rock." And so we call him Peter, and we don't usually just call him one name or the other. He's usually Simon Peter. Simon was his given name, and Peter was his Jesus-given name. I invite you to think about how you can find more of God's protection and invite God to shelter you in the cleft of the rock. How your sins can be hidden in the grace of Jesus Christ. That is the richest thing. And how we are called to a life of being sheltered, protected, and encouraged by God's very presence in that rock, Jesus the Lord. This psalmist, there's so much more to say about this psalm, this particular one, Psalm 27. "The Lord is my light, my source, my salvation. Whom shall I be afraid of? No one." But the psalmist ends with an admonition to wait for the Lord. Now, wait is closely related to the word watch. Wait here, as it's used, is not just about kind of tapping your feet and waiting for the dryer to finish drying the clothes. That's a kind of waiting, but this is not that kind of waiting. This is a waiting with expectant hope. Wait for the Lord, and even while you wait, be strong. This is Hebrew scripture. Psalms are Hebrew literature before the time of Christ. Wait for God. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. We are called to be patient. That's one of the elements of the fruit of the Spirit that we've been struggling through recently, and it's probably universally the hardest one to live into. Patience. Have patience. Here we are called in the last verse of this psalm to wait for the Lord, to be strong, to let our heart take courage. To wait for the Lord. To do so is to set ourselves and to be set by God high on the rock, not to sink in the quicksand, not to try to paddle ourselves along and paddle our way out of a crisis or anything like that, but to set our feet on solid ground, upon the rock, and to claim the strength that we have in God through Jesus Christ. That is our hope. Let us pray. Oh God, as we come before you to pray together, we pray to be lifted up from our enemies around us. And we pray that we remember to sing and make melody in our hearts to you, oh God. For we wait for you. While we sing, through your Spirit, we seek to be strong and take on your courage, even as we wait for you. Amen. If today is a day for you to come to faith in Jesus Christ or to step into that stronghold of life that God has for us in Christ, to set you on the rock, the solid rock of Christ, then I invite you to step into his light and step onto his solid ground. And let us sing together the hymn of invitation, number 159, as we boldly proclaim our faith, let us sing, lift high the cross. If today is a day for you to come, please stand. If today's a day for you to come and join this congregation or profess your faith, now would be a good time to do that, and we would be thrilled to welcome you into the life of this congregation. Come during the singing of this hymn, lift high the cross. So as we go from this place, let us carry with us the grace of Christ and share it with others. Let us know with great hope that we stand on the rock, not alone, but with Jesus Himself, who is the rock. Let us go in His grace. Let us share the confidence that we have in Him. Amen.